I'm looking for her to type something on here if there's no sound, okay? Sister Layla, if she misses it, then, but what's happening, you see, what we are filling up, we're filling up the screen, and then I can't see if the lady's trying to talk to me or not. Because this is like a one-way conversation that we're having, because it's kind of like a CB radio. While you got your finger on the button, you can't hear anything from the other side, okay? So I'm sorry, I have to keep reminding you guys, but let your fingers rest for a while. If they get, if your fingers have to do something, let them go shopping in the Yellow Pages. Anyhow, back to this subject. We're talking about following, okay? Because if you say you love God, so, okay, but Hindus say they love God too. In fact, recently I got a letter from a Hindu. He said, I believe there's no God except God, and I don't believe that he's multiple or anything. I don't believe he's one God. Okay? That's a Hindu. And they have 33,000 gods. And he's saying he believes in the one main God. Okay? That's not who he follows the plan. Okay? That is not the meaning of that Elijah law. If you said, for instance, that La ilaha illallah means there's no God except God, you have missed the entire point behind the Shahada. Because anybody who believes in God and worships a God, this is not a Muslim. It's not until they understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It means that there is none worthy to worship. And it's talking about worship in there. Ilah is something to be worshipped. La, no Ilah. There's nothing to worship. Illa, except Allah. And Allah means the only one to worship. The word Allah comes from Ilah, God, a thing to worship. But it doesn't mean God in authority or God over, because Allah means up or above or over. Okay? But Allah actually means, from the word to worship, He is the only one to worship. And Allah means He is not, you can't make Him plural, because that word will not pluralize, you can't make two out of it. Also, it can't be genderized, it cannot be a man nor a woman. It is Allah, mighty and above all things is He, and all worship is due for Him. That's the meaning of that ilaha illallah. It's who you worship. Because you can say, oh, I believe in God and I worship Jesus, it doesn't make you a believer in Islam. And I suppose somebody said he's a believer, but he says, la ilaha illallah, but he wants to worship Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he does, he's not a Muslim. Because worship is the key in Islam. The key is what? Worship. So if you understand the concept of this statement, you have to believe there is only one to worship, and all worship is for Him alone. It's so unique that it cannot be shared with anything, anywhere, any place, any time that exists in the creation, because Allah does not exist in the creation. And this is the point where a lot of people went out of Islam, because they believed that God could enter His creation. And this is total nonsense, because Allah is the one who created. Why would He have to enter what He created? If He wants anything changed, He just says, kun fayakun, be, and it is. He can make it like He wants. He doesn't have to come down on the earth and fix stuff. He's not a plumber coming down here to fix the toilet, for crying out loud. You have to understand, Allah is not like human beings. He's not like anything in His creation. That's a part of believing in the one true God. It's to believe and understand that only Allah is the one to be worshipped. And the only way you can worship Him is on His terms, and His terms are to follow His commandments. And the most important commandment is not to worship anything with Him. And this is where most people are going to fail the test. Even amongst Muslims, there are Muslims who worship their sheikh, or they worship their madhhab, or they worship their scholar or their teacher, instead of obeying Allah. And the true obedience to Allah is the true worship. And the true worship is the obedience. So if you said, I believe in Allah, but I follow my sheikh, it's absolutely wrong. Okay, so let's go real slow one more time. You believe there is only one God. You believe all the worship is for Him. You believe that Jesus worshiped Him. So anybody who follows Jesus in doing that is on the right way. You agree with those statements that I just said? Anna? It's just yes or no. Okay, great. Then you, in effect, have said it. Now, I don't know what's in your heart, and you don't know what's in mine. I don't know what you're thinking, and you don't know what I'm thinking. Okay? But what I'm saying is, from the statement I just made now, and you acknowledged it, you said yes to it, that is the way of a Muslim, all right? Even though you said, well, wait a minute, I'm saying I follow Jesus. Jesus never said anything other than what all the prophets before said. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, didn't say anything but the same thing. He said, believe in Jesus, and the message that came from Jesus. Okay? Jesus said, one will come after me, in the book of John, and he will be called the Spirit of Truth. And Muhammad was called As-Sadiq, which means the Spirit of Truth, the very essence of truth. And certainly he was that. He only spoke the truth. And also in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the unlettered prophet who will come, and he will not speak of himself, but rather what he hears. And that is Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was unlettered. He couldn't read or write. And he did speak what he heard from the angel Gabriel. Jesus, peace be upon him, also wrote, but what he communicated to us, he wrote it down, and there was a book, but they lost it. There is no book of Jesus anymore. The books that exist now are taken from the original book. Some of the scholars believe the book of Q was the book of Jesus, but it doesn't exist anymore. But certainly we have the Quran, and it exists, and it confirms the miracle birth. So if you want to believe in Jesus, we ought to believe in it. It's not a problem. Okay, there's a true statement you just said right there. And by the way, when you say Jesus said it, it would be better, trust me on this, okay? This will help your mind, your psychological makeup, and your heart, and everything is real, okay? And what you're putting into it is just like putting food into yourself. If the food's poison, you're killing yourself, okay? So be careful what you put in your mind, and what you speak is the result of what's in your mind. Instead of saying Jesus said, it's better to say the Bible in English says that Jesus said, or Jesus is supposed to have said, but you know that Jesus didn't say any of these words. These are all English words, and this is the essence, okay? But we agree to this, and I'm not, I hope you don't think I'm giving you a hard time. That is not my point. I'm telling you, you don't know what I went through. You know what my father went through. You don't know what all of us. We had a Catholic priest, by the way, who accepted Islam the night before we did. He lived in our home with us. All of us, we went through a lot of mental anguish and study trying to find out what's it. And we all come to the conclusion, the best thing to do, really, is to pray to God and ask for his guidance in these matters, number one. And number two, stop saying he said this and he said that. It's better to say what I heard was said this or somebody said this. And then let Allah guide you to show you what is the truth. Because he'll guide you. He will guide you. And I'm sure if you believe in God, that you've seen proofs in your past, you know that there's a God. You've seen him do miracles in front of your own eyes. You say, wow, nobody could know this because something in my heart, I was thinking it and God made it happen. I was thinking about so-and-so. Let me give you a break. 1 second. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. You listen to this song tomorrow. I'll be right back. Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah. We are back, and I apologize for having to take that break for a second, but I wanted to say that tonight, while my computer crashed, I was offline. If those of you were with us all night, you know that when we were on earlier tonight, my computer crashed, right? At that exact moment, my telephone rang, because you know what? We were offline. My phone over here, I don't want it ringing when I'm trying to talk on the program. So, but my phone rang, our computer crashed, phone rings, I pick it up, and it is a person asking me about doing the Eid program for them coming up. I thought I was going to be in Hajj, so I had already declined. I told them I couldn't do it. And this morning I was thinking, oh my God, I should have called them back and told them I could do it, but probably by now they found somebody else. And then I got to thinking about it, and I said, I don't remember their phone number. I don't even know how to get them. So forget the whole thing, you know? But guess what? For sure, this is how it comes about. I was thinking it. Allah made it happen. Allah made it happen in the few seconds, or actually minutes, that my computer was crashed in our program tonight. This brother called me up, and he said, will you come and give our Eid Salat for us? And I marched it, and I said, you know, Wallahi, I wanted to call you and tell you I didn't get to go to Hajj, I'd lost my passport, and I was more than happy, you know, to do this, but I'm so glad you called me. So how could this happen except by Allah's planning? Does that make sense? Anna, are you still there with us? Anna, everybody stop. Yeah, okay. Anna, what I just said, have you ever had experiences? Okay, please, the rest of you stop typing, okay? Like I said before, it's your fingers are needing exercise, run through the yellow pages, okay? Let the young lady talk to us so that I can follow what she's saying, all right? Anna, the things that I mentioned, I'm sure you've had them happen in your life. People called you and you said, how can somebody know that I was thinking about them? How can this happen or that happen? All these things that are happening, but it's coming from Allah, isn't that right? So this is how, you know, as normal human beings just going through the life, we know there must be some intelligent force. There must be something there where there's any proof for it, right? Okay, so if you accept what I just said, and you accept that there is a God, it's up to Him to communicate this message to us. What spirit? Okay, Allah is one, yes or no? So if He's one, we don't buy into the story that there's three gods all working together. Okay.
No sound check, Yusuf.
Okay. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us that every human being has a ruh or a soul. And there is a ruh called the ruh Qudus. The Holy Spirit, it's mentioned in the Quran. That is the title, the formal title of the angel Gabriel. The archangel Gabriel's title is Ruh Qudus. But he doesn't live inside of us, okay? And in fact, there is nothing of God that exists in his creation anywhere, including inside of us. He owns our spirit, yes, but he is not in us. And his spirit is not in us. This is another misconception that's been put on us by people who believe in some of the other religions out there that have this kind of teaching, okay? But Muslims do not accept that God is inside of us. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that everybody has inside of themselves a mufti. A mufti is like your conscience. Your conscience telling you when when something is bad or good. And all of us have that, but that's not God. That's not God's spirit, but rather that's a part of your intellect that God gave you to show you the right from the wrong. Every one of us is created with this ability to see right from wrong. Otherwise, if there was no such thing as being able to determine right from wrong, then it wouldn't be a fair test for us, and it wouldn't be right to punish us or reward us on the day of judgment. Isn't that right? So, for the Muslim, this idea of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, as mentioned in the Bible, is only in the sense that is the same person, or actually the same angel, Gabriel, Jibril, who came to Maryam, who came to Jesus, and he came to Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right. Allah does guide us to truth. And I want to share something with you, and then I'm going to have to wrap it up and go. It's very late over here. I don't know what time zone you're in, but over here it's approaching 11:30, and it's time for me to go turn into a pumpkin or something. Anyway, in the Bible, there is a famous quote. That quote is the same as is found in a hadith, a saying of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says to ask, and you will receive. To seek, and you will find. To knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, if you understood this from the Bible, and you understood this from Muhammad, peace be upon him, that you can immediately get the picture that there is something here that you have to do. You are really, it's your responsibility. You have to desire it. If you don't desire it, you're not going to get it. And that's how it works. You have to want. What do you have to want? You have to want something. You have to seek after it. You have to ask for it, and you have to knock. Now the asking, what am I supposed to ask for? The seeking, what am I supposed to seek after? And I have to knock. Knock on what? And this is the puzzle until you come into a slam. And then you look around and all of a sudden it will dawn on you. Because we are taught as Muslims constantly, constantly to seek guidance. To ask for guidance. And knock. What do you mean knock? If you think about knock, what is that? Knock on what? But look at the name of the first chapter of the Quran. What's the name of it? The opening. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that solves the mystery. Now you know it's the Quran. It's the first chapter of the Quran. And what you do, you ask God, oh God, guide me. You seek after knowledge. That means you got to go to work. You got to do something. You got to open that book and read it. And he tells you in there, there's only one thing. No, knock does not equal pray. Okay? Knock is knock. You're asking somebody to open something. Okay? Praying is when you supplicate. And this is something, pray, by the way, I'll just help you out with this. Pray means to beg. It means to ask for something and petition it. And that's an expression which is used in legal terminology. Even today, when you go to court, you say, we pray, Your Honor, that you will find in the pleadings of so-and-so. When you say that in the court of law, that's correct, because you're praying to the judge. But you're not worshiping the judge. You're just praying. And praying is not the same as worship. Okay? But anyway, knock. When you knock, this means that you have physically done something. And knocking equates to opening of that book. It's a physical thing in your hand. You can open it and look into it and see what does it say. And read it. It says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge with Allah from the condemned devil. And we say that before we read Quran. Okay? Then it begins. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise is to Allah, the Lord of the world. Ar-Rahmani r-Rahim. Most gracious, most merciful. Maliki yawmiddin. The ruler on the day of judgment. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. You only do we worship and you only do we turn to society. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Guide us to your straight path. Siratul ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those that have your favor. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Walamballin. Not the path of those that have your anger, nor the path of those that go astray. Now that's the first seven verses of the Quran. Did you notice that there was a lot of praising of Allah and acknowledging Him? And there was a lot of expression that was showing the relationship of us to Allah, that He's the Master and we're the servant, that we're supplicating to Him, okay? But we only are making one request. You read it, and you look, and you see there's only one request in the whole thing. We're saying, guide us. Guide us to the straight path. And then we qualify, what is the straight path? But we're only asking for one thing, guide us to the straight path. Is that right? Yeah. And if you understand it, when you see that that ties in perfectly with the expression of ask, seek, and knock. Because that is definitely something amazing about this book. It is the solution to the problem that the Bible brings about Christianity. And I have to wrap it up now. I've enjoyed so much having this chance to be with you, to be with all of you tonight, and to have a chance to talk about my favorite subject, which is Islam. And it's also my pleasure to be on this wonderful program for Sister Layla and Sheikh Muhammad Said Adli and others here at Adli.net and Islam Tomorrow. You can visit us on the internet at our website, IslamTomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. The Jehoshu's best is reminding you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Hadi. He is the guide. And so we ask for guidance from him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.